When is the Great Tribulation? I'm going to set some dates today. Actually, I'm going to set a past date that we can be certain of. Ever since I was a boy in Sunday school, and I think I've got a lot of more people here with the same teaching. Since I was a kid in Sunday school, I've heard about the Great Tribulation that's coming, the terrible day of the Lord. Just, you know, fear-based stuff. And I wanted to read just a quote, and I'm going to be reading once again. He just says it so well, and I'm not going to try. This is all him. I'm not one of these plagiarism kind of pastors that like to say what somebody else says. I like giving credit where credit is due. But anyway, Paul Ellis said this. He said, "It was like a holocaust for Christians, and it was coming soon. Probably in 1984, or maybe 1988, but definitely by 1999. Folks, as we've seen in chapter 9, Jesus listed 10 specific signs in the connection with a great tribulation, and all of them were fulfilled within a 5-month period in A.D. 70. So here's the answer to the question and the title of this message: when was the Great Tribulation? A.D. 70. It's already happened. Now you might ask, so what? What does this really matter? Once again, allow me to read a paragraph, kind of setting the stage for the message today. It matters because those who are worried about the coming tribulation are filling their bunkers with wheat and ammo when they could be telling others of the good news of King Jesus. It matters because our children are being told that they'll get their heads chopped off if they don't take the mark of the beast, but they'll burn in hell if they do. And it matters because young people are holding out for the rapture lifeboat when they could be shining in a sin-darkened world." Wow. I'll have to confess, even though I've heard about the Great Tribulation, I probably believed the tribulation was coming, I stuck my head in the sand and I shut my mind to that. Anybody else kind of feel like you've done that? Hey, let me tell you something else. You've heard and been taught about a hell that's, I believe some of you might be believing that's a little different too than what you thought. But the hell that we were taught, even though we know we've had loved ones that's died, and according to what some have said, they'll never have another opportunity to be saved. It's going to be horrible. We bury our head and our minds to that reality, or what perceived reality as well, don't you? I mean, how can you sit around and think about mom, dad, uncle, Joe, whoever, and as far as you know, he never trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, and if he really is in a place that we've been taught, I'm telling you, this whole thing is a mess. So we bury our head in the sand and we just don't think about it. Am I the only one? I'm just trying to be real here today. But here's a question for you. If you could shut the Great Tribulation out of your mind because you now believe that it has already happened, wouldn't that be awesome? Well, I believe we can do that. The revelation that we've had of Matthew 24 that we've been studying states that the Great Tribulation has already happened. This changes everything if you really believe this. And I just believe it fits the grace of God. It fits that God is love, not that God does acts of love, that He is love. It just fits. If you begin to believe this, this lifts a dark cloud that we kind of think that's over us, that, there's a gloom and doom, and now we think that, wow, there really is a hope. And it's just awesome. It fits the grace teaching, and I tell you, this grace has changed this old preacher's heart and mind. I don't know about you. Here's the good news. Look at this on the screen. Look at this quote. "Don't be concerned about the Great Tribulation because you'll never experience it." I'm going to prove to you that from Scripture here in just a little bit. You're going to like this. All right? Trials and regular tribulations? Certainly. They're here. They are here. You face them on a regular basis. We face them on a regular basis. But hadn't you seen where God has carried you through difficult times? It doesn't mean it was fun. It doesn't mean that you want to go through that again. But it means that God was faithful, and He will be faithful in your situation right now. Whatever it is that's got you concerned, uncertain situations, you know, uncertainties out there that's, well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And how am I going to handle this? And I'm telling you, take all those thoughts captive and get your focus back on the great God that we serve, that He is good, He is just. A great tribulation, here's what, once again, that we've been taught. I love what he said here. He says, trials and great tribulation sure are inevitable, but life is certainly hard. But a great tribulation of unprecedented distress and destruction, it's not going to happen. Jesus doesn't want, now listen, Jesus doesn't want you to walk through this life fearful, but hopeful. Can I repeat that? Jesus doesn't want you to walk through this life fearful, but hopeful. I've had people say that 2/3 of humanity will be wiped out with a future tribulation and that God is the one going to be doing it. How many of you heard something similar to that in the past? Folks, I believe it's nonsense. I believe that when we hear those kind of words, we don't need to listen to that. We need to listen to Jesus. See what he has to say about the great tribulation and then decide who is right. Mr. Traditionalist, we got to bring him in a little bit because that's the voices of our past. That's the voices that we hear. These are the voices and the words that are being said. Mr. Traditionalist says, well, I've noticed you haven't made many references to the book of Revelation. Are you aware that the great tribulation is also discussed in Revelation? Here's Paul Ellis's reply. Talking about his book, this is a book about Jesus' prophecies rather than John's vision. But Mr. Traditionalist raises a fair point. The Great Tribulation appears 3 times in Scripture, and 2 of those occasions are in Revelation 2:22. They're in Revelation 7:14. However, John says little about it, while Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, of which we've studied, gives us a play-by-play account. Jesus is the first and last word on the Great Tribulation. Mr. Traditionalist comes back and says, well, you're also ignoring the many scriptures about the day of trouble. And he's referring to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, Zephaniah 1:15, and the great and terrible day of the Lord that's mentioned in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. Here's Paul's reply. These Old Testament references to the future day of wrath or final coming of our Lord have nothing to do with the great tribulation. But don't take my word on it. Consider the first century believers who voted with their feet. Those who believed Christ was predicting a great tribulation within their lifetimes fled and lived. Those who didn't stayed and died. Remember, Jesus was telling them, this is coming. You need to leave. You know, don't mess around. Many chose to follow Christ's lead. Then to repeat what Paul Ellis said, Christ gave us 10 prophecies regarding the great tribulation, as we saw in chapter 9, and all of them have been fulfilled. Well, what about the Antichrist? Mr. Traditionalist said, you have said very little about the Antichrist. Here's Paul Ellis's reply. Well, the Bible says very little. The word Antichrist appears only 4 times in John's epistle. That's it. This may surprise you, but the Antichrist is not mentioned in the book of Revelation, and Jesus never spoke of him. Mr. Traditionalist says, well, the Antichrist will play a major role in these last days. Y'all heard that, right? Here's Paul's reply. But John said the Antichrist and many Antichrists were at work in his generation. I do want to get to some scriptures here that prove what he's saying here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 says, children, it's the last hour, just as you've heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. And by the way, the word Antichrist simply means one who denies Jesus is the Christ who has come in the flesh from God. And I want to show you a couple of more verses where the Antichrist is mentioned. It's basically found in John's epistle. By the way, that means 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Johns. I call it the Little Johns. There's St. John, the Book of John, and then there's the 3 little books called 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Look at 1st John chapter 2, verse 22. It says, and who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ, anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. Y'all know anybody, any antichrist? Sure, there's tons of them out there, right? Look at 2 John chapter 1, verse 7. It says, I say this because many deceivers have gone out into the world. They deny that Jesus Christ came in a real body. Such as a person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now keep in mind, John's 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, he was writing in the context that most likely the demonic spirits was behind Gnosticism, a false teaching that infiltrated the first century church. So basically there was a lot of people coming in just saying all kind of crazy things, and he was combating a lot of that with his books, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. The spirit, according to John, was now already at work in the world. Look at this verse, 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. It says, but if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has a spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard it coming into the world, and indeed is already here. So I think we need to quit worrying about the future Antichrist, okay? Listen to this. Mr. Traditionalist might say, but the Antichrist is the little horn of Daniel 7 and the prince of Daniel 9. Daniel's 70th week culminates in a great tribulation brought about by the Antichrist. Now, some of you, this may be Greek to you. If you've not read some of the books that are out there that talks about Daniel 7 and all this 70th week stuff and all that. But listen to Paul's commentary. Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks mentioned in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, is essentially a messianic prophecy that predicts the timing and purpose of Christ's death. It's a stretch to speculate that Daniel was speaking about a future Antichrist, since this is inconsistent with what the Bible actually says about the Antichrist, or a future tribulation, since the Great Tribulation has taken place in a manner and timing predicted by Jesus Christ. Now, question, how many of you have heard some of the end time teaching preached in church? I remember I did a series one time based on David Jeremiah, who writes a lot of about the end time. But I was basically teaching what they said. I hadn't really studied it out like Paul did here and realized that some of this really could be wrong. That's just what I've been taught all my life. Well, I guess, how could everybody be wrong, right? How could an old whole denomination be wrong? But anyway, I love this. Here's what we've been taught, something like this, and see if you've heard this before. The Antichrist is a charismatic 21st century leader who will co-opt a one-world government. Y'all heard that? You're going to love Paul Ellis' reply. Listen to this. This description of a so-called leader is so far removed from the Bible, I'm reluctant to spend any more time on it. Even if such a person did emerge, I fail to see why we should fear him. Greater is he that is in you than he that is a figment of our overexcited eschatological imagination. And then he's referring to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. This would be a good verse for you and me, that when you have something fearful that's going on in your life, you don't know what's happening, you're doubting God. You know, Jessica, I love their honesty. She said, I was going through some anger and mad at God. By the way, God can handle that if you were to tell him that. If you're feeling it, he knows you're thinking it. Just tell God, say, listen, I'm mad. Why didn't you do this? God can handle you, by the way. Aren't you thankful he doesn't turn us over his knee and spank us for that kind of stuff? He just says, I love you. Get it out now, but let me tell you something. And he might be telling somebody here today a verse like this. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. You know, the King James, the New King James says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now listen carefully. The Bible records two never-to-be-repeated calamities. The first one is the Great Flood. The second one is the Great Tribulation. Let me ask you a question about the first one, the Great Flood. How many of you are really worried about the world being destroyed again by a great flood? Anybody here worried about that? That means no. This means yes. Okay. For you that said no, I'm not really worried about it. Why are you not worried about it? What? God promised it. That's right. And you want to know where that is? In Genesis chapter 9, verse 11, God said there would not be a great flood again. And he even placed something beautiful in the sky that we get a chance to see every now and then to remind us of that. Anybody know what that is? The rainbow. I love that. And there's a grace message in there too. I can't tell it right off, but it's there. I preached about it one time because I heard actually Joseph Prince talking about it, and it was awesome. But anyway, similarly, now listen, we ought not to be concerned about a great tribulation because Jesus said there would not be another one. Well, where's that at in the Bible? Well, I just happen to know. It's Matthew chapter 24. We've done read this, but I think it bears repeating. In Matthew 24, for there will be greater anguish than at any time since the world began. By the way, it was pointing to what happened in AD 70, and it will never be so great again. For you who were raised under the doom and gloom end times teaching, don't you wish you could go back and talk to a younger you? Don't you wish as a child you were hearing messages like this instead of what some of you and I have heard? You might tell your younger me something like this. Look at this. Don't buy into any end time messages that fills you with fear. If you're worried about tomorrow, you're not walking in the full revelation of Jesus who is on the throne. Renew your mind and take those fearful thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Don't base your end time views on teachings that contradict the words of Jesus, but fortify your mind with the promises of God's Word. That's a good word. That's a good word. I hope that that younger me, if I were to go back and tell him that, I hope he would believe it. I hope these young people that are here will believe this. I really do. You've heard the song before by Mercy Me. Mercy Me, the group, Christian group, has really started grasping grace, and song after song they do. Clearly they're getting it. But anyway, he says something similar as he wrote the song, Dear Younger Me. Listen to the words of this song.
Dear young me, where do I start? If I could tell you everything that I've learned so far, you could be one step ahead of all the painful memories still running through my head. I wonder how much different things would be, dear young me. Dear young me, dear young me, I cannot decide. Do I give some speech about how to get the most out of your life? Or do I go deep and try to change the choices that you'll make? Cause they're the choices that made me. And even though I love this crazy life, sometimes I wish it was a smoother ride. Dear young me, dear young me, oh, 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 if I knew then what I know now, condemnation would have had no power, my joy, my pain would have never been. I had heard. Dear younger me, it's not your fault. You were never meant to carry this beyond the cross. No. Dear young me, you are holy, you are righteous, you are one of the redeemed. Set upon a brand new heart, oh, you are free indeed. Every mountain, every valley, and each heartache you will see. Every moment brings you closer to who you were meant to be, dear young man. Dear young man, you are holy, you are righteous, you are one of the redeemed. Set apart, brand new heart, oh, you are free indeed. You are holy, you are righteous, you are one of the redeemed. Set apart, brand new heart, oh, you are free indeed. You are holy, you are righteous, you are one of the redeemed. Set apart, brand new heart, oh, you are free indeed.
Amen. That's who you are. That's who you are. Walk in that this week. Amen.